Why do you want to be the next governor of Montana?
Well, we've been incredibly fortunate here in having started this business and seeing that there's so much potential in Montana. When you combine good leadership and the Montana work ethic, you can create opportunities for people and prosperity. We've seen that in Gallatin County with 40% of all the wage growth in the whole state occurring here last year. And yet, in many communities, our kids have to leave to find good paying jobs. So I love Montana, and my desire to see some of that prosperity spread around the state to more communities.
Seems like the economy in Montana is in relatively good shape. Economy is growing. There's a state budget surplus, low unemployment. Why not just stay the course? Why do we need to replace the current governor?
Yeah, I think better is possible. We do have low unemployment. We just don't have very many high-wage jobs that allow people to support a family. We have people working paycheck to paycheck, multiple jobs, trying to make ends meet. And the unfortunate consequence in many of our rural communities, if a family has two or three kids, only one's going to get the farm or ranch. The other two have to leave if they want to support a family. And I think better is possible. And I think that we have some really great entrepreneurs in the state. We could do more to help these job creators create more opportunities.
How does your experience in the business world prepare you to be governor?
Well, I think all opportunity and prosperity is created in the private sector. We need government, but by and large, government should be there to take care of the things they need to take care of. And my experience starting and growing a business, you know, I've walked in the shoes of the small business owner. We started in an extra bedroom of our home with no outside capital. And I understand the burden. Every regulation, every new tax is another brick in the backpack of a small business owner. And yet that's where jobs are created. So I think my experience here in Montana creating opportunities gives me incredibly good insight into what might be necessary to create a vibrant private sector across the state in all industries, whether it's ag or our natural resources or in these emerging sectors like high tech or telecommuting.
What do you see as the differences between starting and running a successful business and running a successful state government?
Well, you know, at this point today, what I'm announcing is that I'm formally exploring the possibility of running. The next step for me is to get out and talk to Montanans and see what they feel. And honestly, to meet with legislators and understand. We have an incredibly talented legislature. They work very, very hard. They have more insight. I don't have all the answers. But my job, you know, being an engineer by training, I like to get the facts, get various diverse views around a table, have a really robust discussion, and then decide what's best. So at this point, I don't have all the answers.
When I speak to some people in government service, they talk to me about how frustrating it can be because it's such a multi-layered process. There's so many people and interest groups involved, and it's very unlike running a private business. And even if you can get all the right people around the table and come up with solutions, they're hard to implement. I wonder what you see as the challenges for someone with a business background going into that environment and trying to lead that kind of environment.
Well, I'd say in business, I think you make a good point. Government moves a lot slower than business does. You can make a decision and then act on it immediately. And in a government sector, you need to spend more time building consensus around issues. I think we've seen some of the divisiveness. I think in my career, I've been a coalition builder, and I think that's important. And I think you have to temper your enthusiasm with some patience and the time it takes to build relationships with people so that you can find the common ground. But there are things we agree on. We want to help every child in the state get the best education possible. We want to have a thriving private sector so our young people have opportunities and don't have to leave. And I think everybody can agree on those. And the devil's always in the details, but that's the challenge. And I think that, for me, that's part of the opportunity too.
Republican means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. What kind of Republican are you? Are you along the lines of an Representative Art Wittig Republican who's very ideologue, or more along the lines of Senator Ed Buttrey who's maybe more willing to compromise and work with Democrats?
Well, I think it's important that everybody's view must be respected. And I go back to just my leadership experience in business. I had a very diverse management team. I like to have a lot of different views around the table. And even the person who expresses an opinion that is kind of outside the pale, as long as it's presented with respect, it always adds something to the conversation. If you study, I've studied innovation and how innovation occurs, and you need a diverse set of views. So I think everybody should have their chance to speak their mind. I'm happy to arbitrate a dispute if it occurs, but my tendency in leadership roles in any organization is to try and build consensus when possible, because then you have a greater commitment to the outcomes. And I think one of the problems that we faced is we focused too much on the details. And sometimes if we keep our eye on the goal, on the bigger picture, like trying to help more of our kids stay here in the state, we'll spend less time squabbling over some of the little issues.
So what you said about being a consensus type guy, during the past legislative session, we saw some Republicans take a very strong stand on principle and not vote with the Democrats. We saw some Republicans choose to vote with the Democrat to pass some pretty major pieces of legislation, including the Medicaid expansion. So is there one camp there that you think took the right path?
I don't think any two people ever agree on everything. I would like to see more collaboration between the governor's office and the legislature. I think there was a lot of good work done. I personally believe that some of the work done by in the tax simplification area that would have reduced the burden on small business and would have allowed more jobs to be created in the state was a good piece of legislation. It was very unfortunate it got vetoed. In fact, three tax reduction bills got vetoed in this last session. So I think there's opportunity for improvement. I think someone with business background understands what a small business owner goes through from a regulatory perspective, from a tax burden perspective. And this is not about economics. This is about businesses being able to create livelihoods for people, sufficient livelihoods, good paying jobs so that they can support a family and are not forced to leave the state, which is unfortunately the tragic situation we have today with people leaving. And we saw that, as we visited with folks around the state. People love Montana. Our quality of life is so fantastic. And we really have unlimited potential. And we showed that here in the Gallatin Valley over the last 15 years with Right Now Technologies. From a very humble beginning in an extra bedroom, we showed that you can create high-wage jobs here. And it started an economic engine that, honestly, I'd like to get fired up for the rest of the state to complement our existing industries. We need more diversity in our economy in the state.
Who do you like among the current announced candidates for president?
I haven't declared in that. I think the debate is great. I think and some of the entertainment value that we're seeing in the current debate is helpful because it's getting more people involved in the political process and more people are paying attention. I think that's a positive thing. And there's a lot of talent in the Republican pool, and we'll look forward to seeing how it shakes out.
Beyond jobs and the economy, what are issues that you think are facing Montana that you think it's important for the governor to address in his next term, whoever that might be?
Well, I'm not ready to roll out a whole platform of topics and things. At this point, I've declared I'm starting an exploratory committee, in large part so I can do some things I couldn't do until I did that. Right, so now I can start to raise money and understand the level of support that I'm getting across Montana. Up until this point, I haven't been able to talk about myself as a candidate to anyone, and this allows me to do that. And the things I'll focus on are going to be based on what I learned from Montanans and what's important to them. I realize very clearly that if I were chosen to serve in this position, I would be the governor of every Montanan, not a select group. And I take that responsibility very seriously.
When did you hire your campaign staff? And, do you feel like you need to declare expenses or contributions from your Better Jobs for Montana tour as related to this gubernatorial campaign?
Yeah. So I've been working on job creation in Montana for 20 years, and there's been a whole bunch of efforts along those lines, whether it was the manufacturing scholarships, the work we did at Right Now, the couple of hundred mentoring sessions I do per year with Montana entrepreneurs, this recent telecommuting tour. Really, the campaign starts with me filing, and that's what we've done this week.
So if you hired campaign staff prior to you filing, does that mean you need to declare a report on expenses related to the campaign prior to your announcement this week?
Yeah, the campaign really starts with me filing, which has happened this week.
You said part of the reason for the exploratory committee is to gauge fundraising efforts and level of support. A lot of people would assume you have the means to self-finance this campaign, and I wonder if you have thoughts about whether that's the right strategy or what you feel like you need to do in terms of fundraising if you're going to make a go of this.
Yeah, I think I haven't decided if I'm going to write a check to the campaign or not. I think the most important thing is to get out and meet with Montanans and see if my vision of a thriving private sector that's creating opportunities for young people so they don't have to leave the state is consistent with what people want for Montana. And if it is, I would ask that they support my campaign. That's one of the elements in my calculus to figure out if I should actually become, you know, switch from exploratory to actually launching and beginning the race.
People have described you as a billionaire. True?
I'm not a billionaire.
Should that even matter in the conversation about your campaign?
You know, there's been a lot of accusations thrown, and I would just say that we selected Montana as our home 20 years ago. We came here, we made our wealth here in the state, and it's created prosperity for us, and it's created prosperity for our entire community, and we love Montana, and we'd like to see that prosperity more broadly distributed. I think there's a path forward. I think we need more business experience in Helena to do it. Some of the accusations are just flat out silly. I mean, it's...
Like what?
You know, I've been accused of saying Social Security is wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, in our business, we did work for the Social Security Administration. We helped them become more efficient and better serve seniors. I've been accused of saying that retirees are lazy. Those are words put in my mouth. And I'd much rather focus, rather than name-calling and accusations, I'd much rather have a substantive conversation about what really matters to Montanans. And I think it's less about name-calling and making up silly videos and other sorts of stuff, rather than talking about how do we actually move the state forward and how do we create opportunities for people so they can stay here and raise a family here.
When you were making those comments about retirement and Social Security, would you like to just clear up what you were trying to say that you say is being misinterpreted now?
Sure. I mean, I was talking to college students about the virtue of work and my view that everyone has God-given skills that they should use to the best of their ability to serve other people for their entire life. And I still stand by that. I think that's true.
So just one more on the billionaire question, because I think people see the media reports that Right Now sold for $1.5 billion, and therefore they assume Greg Gianforte is a billionaire. Is that $1.5 billion accurate, and why is that assumption incorrect?
Yeah. According to the actual documents, the business, we were very fortunate and blessed. The business was purchased by Oracle for just over $1.8 billion. I was not the exclusive owner. In fact, we had given 20% of the equity, the stock, to our employees. So that in 2012, if you check the records, it's kind of interesting. Just because of our stock option plan, total payroll in the county, in Gallatin County, jumped 14% at the transaction. And that put nearly $80 million into the pockets of our employees who had worked their tails off to make a phenomenal thing happen in Montana. And what we did it Right Now was not unique. That's why I'm so thrilled that there's 210 other high-tech businesses around the state now, which hopefully is the next generation of Right Nows that will create opportunities for people so they can stay here and raise a family.
So to get back to the campaign financing opportunities and challenges, I guess, do you support the new campaign finance rules that the state legislature passed this year?
You know, I believe we should have transparency in our elections.
will you accept funding from these 501c4 groups, the groups that don't have to disclose who their donors are?
At this point, I'm only taking money from individuals.
So you've been considering this run for governor for some time now, I guess still are considering. In your mind, what are the arguments against Greg Gianforte running for governor?
Well, I think it's a decision in the end that Montanans are going to make. I'm going to put forward a positive, optimistic message about how we can create more prosperity in the state in every single community for every Montanan. And if that's something that resonates, Montanans will be supportive. And if it's not something that they want, then I won't be the next governor. So it's really a matter of getting out and understanding what Montana wants. This is really not about Greg. It's about what's best for the state.
You've already mentioned that people are throwing false accusations. They're putting words in your mouth. I know from talking to you before that family is something that's really important to you. In campaigns, it can get ugly. Have you thought about that and talked about that with your family?
I have. And Eric, that's a very important point. I mean, to put yourself up, I have so much respect for anybody who chooses to move into public service, because it's a nasty, vile place. But it's part of the game. So it's a sacrifice for any person to enter public service. And it's part of the reason why I'm spending so much deliberation and trying to decide if this is the right thing. I feel that so much better is possible in Montana. And I feel called to use the skills I've been given in a way that helps other people. And as I said earlier, I love Montana, and this might be the right way for me to serve.
You mentioned that education is important to you, and you know, certainly looking at the Form 990 from the Gianforte Family Foundation, my read is you've put, you know, in 2013, the charitable donation form for the Family Foundation, looks like you put in the neighborhood of $2 million into religious schools and scholarships for students to attend religious schools. Do I have that right? And why is that something that you feel so strongly that you want to donate to that level?
Yeah, I think we should help every child reach their full potential. And we need to be supporting our public schools. We need to be supporting other options for children, just so we can help every child reach their full potential. I mean, Eric, one of the blessings of having had success here in Montana is that we've been able to give a lot of money away. And, you know, if you add up all the numbers, I mean, over the last 5 years, it's north of $60 million. And we feel blessed to be able to work, and not most of that was here in Montana, to nonprofits that do a lot of things. It helps low-income kids get a better education. It helps local community groups. It does a lot of things. And, you know, it's our money, and we've decided that we want to put it back into the community to try and make Montana a better place. So education is extremely important. And I've been a big fan of trying to get computer science into the high schools. I think personally, we ought to be doing more with trades education, because not everybody's going to go to a four-year degree. I also think we need to be exposing our young people to the idea that entrepreneurship is a career choice. I did a talk earlier this year, and you know, only a few of the 300 kids I was speaking to had even ever thought of starting their own business. And if we want a vibrant private sector, the spark for that private sector is entrepreneurship. So I think innovation in education is required. I think just like in a lot of areas, better is possible. I think we need to support our public schools, and we need to provide options for those children who that might not be the right fit.
Does that mean that you support state funding for private and religious schools in Montana?
Yeah, at this point, I'm not going to go into specific policy issues, because we're still exploring. I think we ought to do what's right. I mean, there are unique challenges in rural Montana, because these small towns, I mean, my fear is that the next Einstein is born in TUDOT. Are we going to have a fabulous calculus teacher there? Well, I think there's opportunities in digital delivery to make that happen so that every single child can reach their full potential. That's going to be done in the public school there, right? So, again, I think the commitment that the state has to be is to help every child reach their full potential, and more innovation is possible.
In terms of where you've chosen to put your charitable contributions, as I said, you know, a big chunk of that appears to be in Christian education, and I wonder why specifically Christian schools are something you support so strongly.
Well, that's not actually true. The ACE scholarship program, which we funded, which is the bulk of the money you talked about there, is based on a very successful program in Denver that supports all schools. And we support all schools here in Montana. There's about 60 schools in the program. We have over 700 kids on scholarship. These are all kids from lower income and moderate income families here in Montana, where their current schooling situation wasn't working out for them. This program in the Denver area took high school graduation rates from 50% to over 90% and allowed a lot more kids to reach their full potential. We were excited about the program. We announced it here in Montana. The program's been wildly oversubscribed. We've gotten support from across the business and education community for it. And it supports all schools, both secular and faith-based.
Tell me about the role that your faith plays in your life and how that colors your decision-making, both in terms of choosing to be governor and how it might influence your decision-making should you ascend to that office.
Yeah. So my faith in God is very important to me, as it is for my wife and our family. But if I were elected, I need to be governor of every single Montanan. And ultimately, that's the most important thing. My primary focus is on job creation and bringing my business experience to Helena. And that's where I would focus.
People bring up your support for the Creationism Museum in Glendive and have concerns about that in terms of what it might mean for whether you have beliefs that creationism is something that should be taught in public schools. How do you feel about that?
I think young people should be taught how to think, not what to think. And I think a diversity of views are what should be presented. The museum in Glendive, they applied for a grant to our foundation. We were impressed with the quality of the dinosaur museums there, the dinosaur displays. And since they opened, over 50,000 people have attended, I understand. And that's been an economic boon to Glendive. It's one of hundreds of projects that we've supported, and we're proud we did. I would encourage you to go. In fact, since the people have tried to stir something up about this, quote, controversy, which I don't see as there, attendance at the museum has gone way up. So thank you very much for continuing to talk about it.
In recent years, some Montana cities and towns have passed anti-discrimination ordinances specifically aimed at protecting people who are homosexual or transgendered. Do you feel strongly about those ordinances?
You know, we owe every single person the dignity and respect here in Montana. I am opposed, as I said very clearly, discrimination is wrong. There is a real question about whether local municipalities should be passing these ordinances. But again, as governor, I need to be governor of every single person here in the state of Montana.
So I guess that sort of relates to the recent Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex couples to be married in all the states, including Montana. Do you think that's going to be good or bad for Montana?
It's a fact. I mean, the Supreme Court has ruled. I personally feel marriage is between one man and one woman, but that's not what our Supreme Court said. My primary agenda in thinking about running for office is job creation and bringing my business skills to Helena.
What do people not know about Greg Gianforte that you'd like for them to know, or what do you think people might have heard about Greg Gianforte that you would like to correct?
Well, I think for me, the question of whether I run or not is a deeply personal question, because it's a sacrifice on my part, our family's part. We're putting our reputation on the line. We've worked very hard here for a long time, but we also feel that we've been incredibly blessed. And we love Montana. This is our only home. We don't have a vacation place someplace else. This is where I wake up every day when I'm not on the road traveling, seeing people. And we want the best for Montana, and not some subset of people, but every Montanan. And there's today, unfortunately, Montana's 49th in the country in wages. Yes, we have low unemployment, but yes, many of our young people have to leave. And I think the thing I would want people to know is that if this vision of a more vibrant private sector is consistent with the view that other people want, then I'd love to hear from them, and I'd love to come alongside them, and let's take some of the prosperity we've created here in Gallatin County and spread it across the state.
Do you have a timeline for when you'll decide whether to go beyond exploration, or is there a threshold or some benchmark that you feel like will determine yes or no on whether you're going to make the run?
I don't have a litmus test. I mean, the next step for me is to get out and talk to more people. And I can have conversations now that I filed that I couldn't have before. So I look forward to having those conversations, and I'll just do what I always do, build a consensus. And when that consensus is formed, I will make a final decision.
Greg Gianforte, thanks for joining us on Montana Public Radio.
Thank you, Eric.